Good morning. It is Flashback Twin Cities. I am Tom Osmond on KLBB Club 1220. Coming up to Christmas time, James, do you have your Christmas plans set?
I do. I got a white elephant gift exchange on Monday. I got the whole family coming over to the folks' house on Christmas morning. Eggs Benedict, and probably going to start having some beer around noon. It's going to be a good day. Got good plans.
So it's a reunion of sorts. The whole family gets together. You have people you haven't seen probably in at least a few months.
Well, it's mostly just the, you know, immediate family, like the sister, the nephew, folks like that. They don't live too far away.
No surprising guests that are going to come in the door, the front door that you haven't seen in 10 years, the long-lost uncle that someone had a spat with 10 years ago.
Oh, the long-lost uncle I never knew existed before.
Well.
But just shows up.
I only can base what I know from TV and movies. That's usually when they have the long-lost relative or the unexpected guest that was stuck in Cleveland and couldn't make it.
You're a man after my own heart.
You know, I was, you know, been talking last few weeks on these Christmas commercials and Christmas programs that get brought out every year. And either the mismatched Christmas special, like, you know, Michael Jackson, Oscar, or, you know, Darth Vader and Santa Claus. But
those are mismatched?
You know,
it's like go together, I thought.
You know, all in the eye of the beholder, right? A couple of my favorite ones, though, we played this a few weeks ago, but I want to play it again, is, you know, a Christmas commercial that makes me feel that first of all, Christmas is going to be here, and it makes me feel just warm inside. So let's listen to that.
Thanks a lot. Merry Christmas.
For this and all your mornings from Folgers.
Again, I think Christmas can happen now because Peter made it home. He's been coming home, I think, for 25 years on Christmas morning. And there's so many unanswered questions in this commercial. Where was Peter? What, like, was he in the UK or what? Why was it such a shock that Peter came home?
It's a mystery. All I know is that ad makes my mom cry. It's so emotional.
Well, now, James, when you come home on Tuesday, I want a couple of Folgers, because this is also an era where Folgers was the dominant coffee. This is a pre-Starbucks era, and that red can of Folgers, or green if you were on the decaf, that's all that
matters. Who's on the decaf coffee? Really?
No one I know. Well, and I imagine you're going to have a lot of food when you have the family over, right?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of food do you have? So you have Eggs Benedict?
Eggs Benedict, bacon, some ham, just pretty much go to town.
Well, you know, cuisine's a big part of Christmas, and we were actually, my family, having this discussion on what to have on which day and trying to bend some traditions.
Well, get the most because, I mean, on Christmas, calories don't count. It's a scientific fact.
Christmas, New Year's, Easter, Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
And then every day in between then. I was reading an article this week on one of the too many blogs that I read, and Chef Boyardee, heard of him?
I have maybe I've heard of him in passing.
He's a real guy. He's not a fictional character created by an ad agency, and his niece is upset, and this is why. She's upset that Hector Boyardee, his recipe and his legacy has been tarnished by some processed, manufactured food put in cans. And she's going to, I think she's working on, or has a, this is his grandniece, a cookbook that'll have the original Boyardee recipes in it.
Really? Giving away the secrets?
Giving away the secrets? Well, I'm guessing it might taste a little bit different than, beefaroni that are, or that pizza box, which I still eat occasionally, that they sell at the grocery store. You know, the chef didn't do his own promotions for a long time, from the 50s through the 80s. He passed away in 1985. And let's take a listen at the chef endorsing his own spaghetti in 1977.
I have everything you need for a great spaghetti dinner. All in one package, nothing to add. Chef Boyardee, complete spaghetti dinner with meat sauce. I have spaghetti and a rich sauce with meat, even zesty grated cheese. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you a real...
And a real Italian treat from Chef Boyardee.
I like the way he talks.
It's very, very authentic Italian, right?
Oh, yeah. Much better than my imitation.
No, I won't even try. Well, we're talking about reunions, so Peter made it home, and we're going to reunite today. You know, when you're watching the news, and James, I know you watch the news three times a night.
I'm an avid viewer.
Of course. You have a family, and it's a family that the family you're born into, and you might not even see them some days when there's things going on. You have sports practice or, you know, theater practice or choir practice. But you do see the same people every night, 5, 6, and 10, or right now, there's about 7 different newscasts in every station right now. And you see these people, and you get to know them very well, and you don't know them, but you know them, because you see them consistently every day. And occasionally, then they go away. And unlike the relative that may show up again 10 years later, you may not know where they went. And what we're going to do today is we're going to reunite with some of our former friends, Debbie Ely Lawrence, formerly at WCCO, and Mike Walcher, formerly at WCCO. And when we come back from the break, we'll be talking to Debbie Ely Lawrence. Flashback Twin Cities, I am Tom Osman, and if you're new to the program, this is a audio time machine. We're going to take the next hour, go backwards in time through a media and cultural history of the Twin Cities, and we'll be joined by some good friends today, a good friend of mine, Debbie, or Deborah, Ely Lawrence, welcome.
I answer to just about anything.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, there's some people, titles are very, very important. I can call you Ms. Lawrence, I can call you Ms. Ely.
Or just Hey You.
Hey You, okay, we'll do that.
I like that one. I respond to that, too.
So Debbie, as you may remember, was on WCCO for 8 years, 9 years?
Something like that.
Yeah. And you did the Noon Report, you did weekends, you did parades, you did...
just a little bit of everything.
That's great. So tell me a little bit about your background prior to coming to Minnesota and broadcasting. So we know that story, but tell us a little bit about the pre-story.
Well, I was just thinking about this station and thinking this reminded me so much of the first radio station I worked in. It was called KDVR, that were the call letters, and we used to say it was dead radio, KDVR, cadaver. And it was an old station out on an old dirt road, and they played records, and the station was such that if a heavy truck came down the road, the record would be skipping. And but it was my first experience in radio. I got to make a lot of mistakes.
Yes.
And then I moved. The station was acquired by another station, a group of stations, and so I got to move to the big time, and I got to work for KMNS 620, the king of music, news, and sports.
And what kind of music?
It was top 40.
Okay. And on AM, right? So top 40 on AM, which
and
is...
a big place
it's...
to work in those days before. In fact, Cadaver was actually an FM station, and I ended up going to work for the top station in town.
The top AM station in town, that's great. And eventually to TV.
Eventually to TV. I worked at KMNS for a couple of years. In fact, actually before I went to KMNS, I met my husband, who worked at another radio station in town, KSCJ.
Wow.
And so worked at KMNS for a couple of years, and then I went to work at KCAU-TV, which was the top top ABC affiliate in that marketplace. Of course, there was only one ABC affiliate in the marketplace. But
let's listen, actually. We have a clip of that time at KCAU. Let's listen to a little clip of this. This is great.
Channel 9, We're the one for news.
And
next.
Now, young lady, I think we better get started on your orientation, okay?
All right. I don't want to goof up on my first day. Oh, listen, I did tell you, didn't I, that we were making
live from our newsroom, the Major 9 Report.
Good afternoon, I'm Debbie Ely. At this hour, two Sioux City banks are holding an important meeting. They are discussing the future of an area of downtown known as the Brandeis Block. Security National Bank holds a mechanics lien on the property, and there's been talk that Security National Bank could become a co-developer with Northwestern National Bank for that land. Whatever the two banks decide, it's likely they could present a proposal to the City Council this afternoon. And the U.S. Supreme Court has issued a ruling that's not in favor of a Siouxland company. Today, the court ruled that Iowa beef processors' records can be made public. The House Committee on Small Business has been investigating those records, but the company had
The Brandeis Hole and Iowa beef processors, truly the big news stories in the 1970s.
The teletype was been coming off the wire. You were on top of it. I was watching the credits in this video, and you were the writer, producer, and anchor in this newscast. And this is a lot of.
But the only thing I didn't do was sell the spots.
Oh, we'll see. Well, yeah. I think today, if you went to go back, you'd probably be selling spots too.
I think so.
So you did KCAU, and then I assume you were sending some tapes out to some bigger place. Even though I'm sure you're very happy there, thought maybe there's.
KCAU was in the community in which I grew up, so mm-hmm. I felt like kind of the big kahuna
sure.
in that market there. But I really wanted to move into a bigger market, and so my husband was from the Twin Cities, and so. He had always wanted to move back to the Twin Cities, and so I started fishing in a bigger pond
mm-hmm,
to
sure.
see if I could land something, and I was fortunate enough to get an interview at WCCO, and I mean, I remember it like yesterday going to that interview.
Right.
I was just so in awe of the station, and people like Dave Moore that I had seen on TV when I'd come up to visit
sure.
in the Twin Cities, and Bud Crayling, and I mean, I was just, my jaw was down to my knees.
Well, tell me, so you go to the old studio out on 9th Street, right? The old building?
It was the, right, the parking ramp was there.
Right,
and,
right.
And the old Kitschy stores, and I think it's owned by Lakewood Publications now.
And you come from KCIU, so I'm guessing this is a bigger building with a lot more people working, a lot more typewriters and cameras and what, I mean, tell me a little bit about how that was when you're coming from, and not to discount your time in Iowa, but mm-hmm. you're jumping a few numbers in the market scale when you go from.
Right, there's actually a producer that does your show instead of yourself, and you don't have to go pull the slides and things
slides,
like that.
That's right,
yes,
yeah.
Yeah, so it was, I was just floored because I went from a station that was in the 100-something market.
Right.
To something that was in the 13, 14 range at that time, and I'm like, whoa.
And there's,
I made it to the big time.
Well, and there's a lot of people that I'm sure had tapes that were floating out there, and you were, through skill and a little bit of, I assume, fortune and luck that you were able to get in and the right person.
I don't know how they pulled my tape, but I'm sure glad they did.
The right person got the tape. And so you want to work on midday program right away, correct, when you first came to Channel 4?
Well, actually, yes, because Midday was the show that Bill Carlson was doing, and the Noon Report had not come into existence yet. So they had this, 1 minute or 2 minute news hole in there,
mm-hmm.
and so I was actually producing that, and I didn't have to pull the slides though.
That's great, or the artwork. Didn't have to paint the pictures.
And so I was doing just this small news hole, and their plan was to expand it and make the Noon Report. And so I was brought on as the first talent. They used to call us talent.
Right.
For that program.
Well, Midday was a Today show in that mm-hmm. era. Bill Carlson was not a news anchor. He was a weatherman that was doing a talk show
with Cindy Osborne.
Let's actually listen to a little clip of that. It's actually
Midday is Cindy Osborne and Bill Carlson outside playing or inside planting. Midday, talking with the stars of today. And sharing history with the stars of yesterday. Treat yourself to a lunchtime luxury. Midday, Monday through Friday at noon on WCCO-TV, Channel 4.
the stars of today were Burt Reynolds and Gordon Jump in the commercial, so that was the stars today.
And that was Paul Stagg.
Paul Stagg, yeah.
Yeah. Wow, he was quite a talent.
A lot of hours of video of Paul Stagg's announcing on tcmedianow.com.
I'm sure.
Again, this is Flashback Twin Cities with Deborah Ely Lawrence, and we're talking about her time at WCCO-TV. So you go to do midday program, and then that changes over to an actual news program where it's actual conventional news. And how was that conversion? Was that, I mean, midday had been around a long time, and it would have been an infotainment show.
It had been, and, I think there were a lot of people who had really come to think of Bill and Cindy as their lunchtime, partners.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think it was a transition, but certainly news was picking up in the marketplace. Everybody wanted to add news programming.
Right.
And so having Bill on there as that comfortable face,
mm-hmm,
was very important. We also had Bud Crayling, an equally, comforting face.
Right.
And Tony Parker, who did the sports. And so, these were three very
legendary broadcasters.
Legendary broadcasters. And so I think it might have helped make that transition easier.
Well, all three of these individuals that were your colleagues had all pioneered TV. I mean, these are people that had come from, Bud had been in broadcasting from radio and then invented the TV style of broadcasting at WCCO, and Tony Parker with Channel 9, and Bill had been with everything, he'd done everything.
He was the page at WCCO
right, right.
Radio when they used to do live music programming.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that were they good teachers and good mentors?
Absolutely, and so professional and patient with this little young upstart from Sioux City, Iowa.
Well, and one thing, it's, right now it wouldn't make any difference, but females and news, that was not... even in the late 70s and early 80s, they were there, but this was still a change to have females doing news during the day.
Right.
Maybe a weekend weathercast, they might have had a weather girl, but to have a female doing the news. Now, did you ever feel any of that in Iowa or Minnesota when you got into the news business?
I think women were starting to get more of a face in newscasts. I know even in Sioux City, they were starting to introduce co-anchors right before I left KCAU to come up here. I had been co-anchoring on a weekend newscast.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it was starting to become the thing to have a female sitting next to the male presence
right,
in the anchor desk.
Balance it out a little bit,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Well, in addition to news, I know that everyone always gets to do extracurricular activities at the station. And how many parades do you think you covered?
I didn't do too many. I think I did one or two parades. They wanted to pass the parades around.
Well, we have a clip of a parade. This is the Aquatennial Parade from 30 years ago, this past summer. Let's take a little listen of Debbie Ely doing a parade with Bill Carlson.
Big situation for our Grand Day Parade. We've moved our location just a bit this year, about a half mile down Hennepin Avenue to the Metropolitan Community College. However, standing by at Parade Stadium, where things will be getting underway in just a few minutes, is my co-anchor on this Grand Day Parade coverage, Debbie Ely. How are things going there, Debbie?
Oh, this is wonderful, Bill. This is the first time I've ever been involved in an Aquatennial Parade from this perspective. And I'm having a great time. The parade is going to be underway any minute now, and joining me to help salute you all and to welcome you to the 1982 Grand Day Parade, Woody Lanhaug, correct?
Right.
The Commodore.
Yes. Welcome to every one of you here and in the viewing...
Fascinating interviews.
Wow. I forgot all about that.
There's 3 hours of this parade, and I've yet to post that online yet. It's something I probably wouldn't have watched at the time, but now that it's 30 years later, it's actually kind of funny to watch that and take a look at that and the floats and the companies that are long gone that are sponsoring it and the.
Do you remember the parade wars that existed between the television stations?
Well, it's funny you bring that up because I think now when the Winter Carnival Parade and Aquatennial Parade comes up, it's a fight over who has to cover it this year. And there was a time when you could flip through three stations. And I've never understood the Winter Carnival Parade because you go out in the middle of winter,
freezing
to watch a parade. And by no means do I mean disrespect to the Winter Carnival, but I guess I prefer to watch it from TV, actually. And now that isn't an option any longer. So you did some great other great reporting. And one event which a lot of people have commented on, tcmedianow.com, is the Superstorm of 1987. And I have a short clip, if I can find, let's see. And you are out covering the storm, and I think that no one had any idea how big the storm was going to get.
It was huge.
And I think that, and tell me a little bit about that event. You're at home, and you get called in to go.
Actually, you know, I was watching the weather. My husband is a weather maniac, and, you know.
And did weather at Channel 11, too.
He did weather at Channel 11 for a short time.
And husband's name is? Brent Lawrence.
Brent Lawrence, yes. And so, you know, I was watching the weather, and you could tell it was starting to get really nasty, and I called the assignment desk to ask if they needed any help, you know, how storm will travel. And so they said, yeah, get in here as soon as you can. So I jump in the car, head downtown, got into the station, and they said, oh, we're going to send you out to some flooding out on what was then Highway 12.
Mm-hmm.
And so I head out with Dick Nordling and our live truck, Tim McNeil. And
good friend of the show, Tim McNeil.
Yep. And went out there, and it was just, I had lived out in that area for a time and had never seen it flooded like that. And so, you know, Tim gets the mast of the truck up there, and we're standing out there doing a live report. There's lightning in the distance, about the most stupid thing anyone could do. But, you know, have news will travel.
Let's listen to that.
Okay.
This is feed from the taped room. This is not from on air.
The drenching rainstorm here. We're west of Turner's Crossroads on Highway 12. I've been in the news business 13 years, and this is the worst I've ever seen it. It is so bad that we're having trouble keeping our equipment running. Our batteries fresh, cameras rolling. I'll tell you a little bit about what's happened here.
You're in about knee-deep of water with a live microphone and a lot of equipment. This could have gone viral had other unfortunate incidents happen.
And Kevin Berger and her crew from Channel 5 were right over on my left side, and I think she's looking at me going, are you crazy?
And you're thinking, couldn't I just been doing that live coverage from the newsroom tonight, reading off the businesses that were going to be closing early that night? Right. Let's take a break, and we come back. We're going to be joined by another WCCO alumni, Mike Walcher. This is Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB Club 1220. Flashback Twin Cities, I am Tom Osman on KLBB Club 1220, joined by my guest, Debbie Ely Lawrence. Talking a little bit about her time at WCCO. Debbie was an anchoring reporter at WCCO for many years, the 1980s, and has moved on to bigger and better things. We are joined, because we're doing a reunion show today, we are joined by another WCCO alumni, Mike Walcher. Mike, are you on with us? Hello, Mike. James, we can't hear Mike in the studio.
No problem. Give me one second here.
So we were talking a little bit about the parade wars again and some of the things you were doing. In addition to the flood, what was the other most adventurous story you think you did? So besides Winter Carnival and besides the flood.
You know, I went out on a lot of stories out in...
try it one more time.
We got Mike?
Yes. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. I'm here with Debbie Ely.
Hey, Debbie. How are you doing?
Great.
It's great to hear your voice after all these years.
And same here with you. How is Florida?
Oh, it's wonderful.
I'm sure you're loving it in the wintertime.
Well, it is. It's sunny and warm, so how can you beat that? Yeah.
Mike, it's 9 degrees on my thermometer when I drove in today. What's the temperature out in Fort Myers today?
Actually, we're having a little bit of a cold snap from that storm that came through the East Coast. It's about 52. which is
Right.
People are in their parkas here. This is very cold for here. Supposed to be 40 tonight, so they're opening up shelters for homeless people. That's how bad it is. Yeah, that is very cold. Yeah, but it'll warm up. It passes by Christmas. It's supposed to be 80 degrees, so that's pretty nice.
All right, Mike. Okay, we got the gist of the Florida weather now. We're gonna.
That's enough of that.
Exactly. So, Mike, you were at WCCO TV Channel 4 for 20 years.
Yeah, that's right, Tom. 78 to 98.
And before you were at CCO, you came from Iowa. We were talking before the show started. What city did you come in from Iowa before Channel 4?
I worked in the Cedar Rapids Waterloo market. I was there for about 2.5 years. Did anchor, reporting, producing, you name it, just about everything. And that was my first job out of college. And then was fortunate enough to catch the eye of the CCO folks and moved up to Minneapolis.
And you were originally a reporter at Channel 4, and you became a weekend anchor.
That's right. Yeah, I started out as a general assignment reporter and covering all kinds of stories. I remember the first big one I had was the power line dispute out in central Minnesota, 1978, where people were protesting some huge power lines going through the agricultural areas, the farm areas. But after a couple of years, they said, "You want a shot at doing some anchoring?" And, of course, I jumped at that, and I served as weekend anchor pretty much throughout the 1980s and into the early 90s. And then after that, I returned to reporting for my last few years at the station.
The best I can tell, I think you have the longest tenure of weekend anchor in town, actually, about 13 years. You actually replaced Pat Miles on the weekend desk, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Don Shelby and Pat Miles were the weekend team. And Pat was such a hit with the audience, they had to move her up to weekdays. So they moved me in to replay, and I think Don also went to the I-team or to a different assignment, and they put me on the weekends. Originally, I was with Ann Rubenstein, who later went to NBC, and then with Cindy Hilcher, and then with Debbie.
Well, let's listen a little. I have a little clip here of you and Don Shelby, who was around here for quite a long time. Let's just take a little listen to this.
I'm Don Shelby, and I'm Mike Walter. Every day of the week, WCCO Television wants to inform you of the important issues that shape your community.
And the world events that are making history. That's why every weekend, Channel 4 highlights the day's happenings on the Weekend Report.
And the Weekend Report also reflects the lighter side of the weekends with special features and sports events.
So join us, along with weatherman Bill Carlson and sportscaster Hal Scott, the Weekend Report
on Channel 4.
A comprehensive news program it was, too, right, Mike?
It was indeed, yeah. That's great. I had completely forgotten about that, but you're right. I worked for a time with, of course, Bill Carlson, passed away a few years ago, and Hal Scott, brother of Ray Scott.
That's right.
Boy, a big name in sportscasting, and it was wonderful to work with people like Hal, who was sort of a legend and institution in the business.